I can tie all of this together in one neat little package. This is about fathers, dads, masculinity being completely eviscerated and missing from community and from almost every household in the United States. That's one. And number two, as we bemoan and watch the number, according to Pew Research and others, of people that are actually faithfully practicing the faith. And as those numbers go down, and as the number of people that say, I don't go to church anymore, boy, what do you think the Corona hoax has done? And now Corona hoax too. Day of the mask zombie has done to church attendance. Especially you have every bishop in the world going like, I'm giving you a dispensation. You don't ever have to go to mass again. Just go ahead and die. You don't even have to go to confession. We're not even going to give you last rites. You're sick. You got the corona bug. So people have turned to the false religion and the first church of scientism. Because all one has to do is say the word science. And all ears perk up in 2020. Oh, you're the, what? You have some science? Oh, I love science. I want more. Can I get some science from you? Oh, let me get down on my knees. Science. People worship science. It's God. We have a media that is completely complicit. If you're not independent, you're complicit. So I can give Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham a pass. Because they do good work. They are almost alone, ladies and gentlemen. This is a paradigm change unlike any in the history of the world. So, and if you do not believe that we're in the middle of a paradigm change, yesterday I reported to you that Father Ted Rothrock of St. Mary Elizabeth Seton Parish and the Diocese of Lafayette, Indiana, had put a letter out to his parishioners. I read you the letter in its entirety. Now, see, people are going like, wow, he could have been a little bit more judicious about it. What? Why? There's nothing he said in that letter that was not true. He quoted he animated a couple of encyclicals, quoted the encyclical, the first encyclical ever. That's a writing from a pope, a little Catholic baseball there. Quoted the encyclical, St. Peter. Yesterday, the Bishop of Lafayette, Indiana, Bishop Doherty, threw Father Rothrock under the bus because a bunch of COVID Karens in his parish, a bunch of Marxist ACP wenches, demanded John the Baptist. We want Rothrock's head on a platter, Bishop. He's not a Black Lives Matter. He's being mean and racist. And he's not in the 21st century. He's not a Catholic like we want to be leading our parish. And you know what Doherty did? He agreed with him. He savaged Father Rothrock's reputation. Let me tell you something. I'm a Catholic and I am under my bishop. That does not mean that I have to agree with things that my bishop does. And if I'm in the Diocese of Lafayette and you're a good, faithful Catholic, point your finger at Doherty and say, John Ziegler, We will never let you forget. You will never live this down. We will never forget what you did. Rather than siding with your priest who stuck his neck out on the line and said the truth, you went with the mob, Your Excellency. You went with the mob. The pro-abort, pro-lesbian, pro-transgender, pro-communist party mob. This after eight holy fathers, eight popes have said no. Intrinsic evil, no cooperation, no commiseration, no cover, no quarter ever given. Communist. And you gave those communists quarter. You made it sound as though they actually had a point. This Black Lives Matter leftist terrorist organization. Oh, they have a point, all right, Your Excellency. But it's not the one that you're making. Now, you called your own priest in your own diocese a racist. And you don't even have the stones to define what a racist is, pal. Minister Church, please, you have to call him bishop. I'll call him bishop, all right. Bishop Coward. He let a mob run his diocese. You know what you ought to get for that? You ought to let the mob run your diocese now. And you know what? You think you gave them a little half a pound of flesh? They are not going to stop. Father John Hollowell, I'm not sure if he's in that diocese. Maybe he's in the one next to it, is a good, solid, conservative priest. And I will wager you that Father Hollowell, even though he's probably speaking in maybe a little bit more measured terms, Father Hollowell is telling his flock the same thing Father Rothrock said. If you're a Catholic priest, you are marked. You are marked like Logan's freaking run. You are marked for termination, brother. We need the crusade, the Continental Crusader Congress, to meet today. Can't do it today because we said we're going to do it tomorrow. We can't meet fast enough. And you know what? I hope there are dozens of other groups. I don't think there will be because I think people are scared. Cowards. Dozens of other groups that meet and do the same thing. And then rally to a priest's defense when he speaks the truth and fire letters off. Go to the parish. Tell the bishop in question, we so appreciate what Father Rothrock said. And I'm sure some people did. But you know what? We have 60 years worth of terrible catechism, horrible, if any, formation whatsoever in our Catholic ranks. I don't know how you guys in the Protestant ranks, what your formation has been like. We can't rely on the leadership. They're not there. Oh, there's a couple of, a half a dozen or so. They're not there. They put the church closed for summer cleaning sign out. The Diocese of Lafayette, Indiana has been turned over to leftist, Marxist, terrorist thugs. So before I go to Fiorella, let me just give you a progress report. What happened yesterday? Minor league baseball, gone. They probably will never reopen some of those cities. Some of those minor league teams are never going to play again. Major league baseball for the first time, and that includes World War I and World War II, no season. It's over. Maybe that's a good thing. Overpaid, overpriced, prima donna baseball players. Used to be an honorable sport, not an honorable sport anymore. I don't know. I don't care about professional sports. Minor league sports, I don't consider that. That's semi-pro to me. They killed minor league baseball. The COVID hoax killed minor league baseball. Later on that morning, in the town of Columbus, Ohio, named Columbus, Ohio, at the order of the mayor, the beautiful statue of Christopher Columbus in downtown was dismantled to a cheering throng, a mob. Columbus's head put on a truck, hauled away. Columbus's torso put on a truck, hauled away. Columbus's legs put on a truck, hauled away, probably to never be seen again. When they rip these statues and this part of history down, you know that they intend to erect new history, right? You know they intend to put Malcolm X, Leonid Brezhnev, Saul Alinsky, Angela Davis. What other murderer can I think of that these people idolize? That's who they're going to replace those statues with. You know what? H.L. Mencken once said, the American people vote for the government they want, and they ought to get it, and they ought to get it hard. You numbnuts in Columbus, Ohio, you're going to get it hard. You think these people are going to relent now that you gave them something? Now they're going to come for the town name. Now the name's on the chopping block. What are you going to do, His Honor, you coward? What are you going to do? Oh, we'll call it C-O-L, Ohio. You're a coward, you wussy. All of you. You people that have brains and can still think, don't forget what these people have done and what they're doing, because they're not finished. Let's move to the state of Virginia while we're on our magical mystery tour of shame. The statue of Stonewall, Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson, one of the most decorated men to ever leave West Point, a man looked up to by everyone, Union and Yankee, Union and Confederate alike, a man who no one had ever raised a moral objection to. His actions while serving the United States Army or the Confederate States of America, killed by his own men by a misfire in battle, died from a wound or having his arm amputated. What the hell did he do to deserve having his statue, the memorial to him, ripped from its pedestal and stored in some nondescript building somewhere? What are they going to replace Stonewall with? You think they're going to put Booker T. Washington up there? They're not interested in Booker T. Washington. They're interested in Bernadette Dorn. Look it up. William Ayers. Look him up. Students for a Democratic Society, SDS. Look it up. You cowards in the city of Richmond, you wussies. You're a bunch of traitors to your own heritage. You're not worthy of living in the beautiful downtown Monument Avenue of Richmond, Virginia. I hope they take it away from you. You know what? Because you freaking deserve it. Which coward is next? Oh, let's go to Boston, shall we? Boston, where Mayor Mighty Walsh. Let's move there. Take the statue of Christopher Columbus down. We don't want it anymore. What are they going to replace it with, Marty? What socialist, Democrat, communist? Ooh, how about a statue of abortion contraception Chappaquiddick's hero, Edward M. Kennedy? How about that? Probably. Who's going to fall today, ladies and gentlemen? You know who's going to fall? Anyone that's challenged. You know why? Because America doesn't have any Minutemen. We don't have any patriots. There are no men like that around anymore. Especially in positions of leadership, they're cowards. They're hiding right now in broom closets, shivering like little girls in 12-degree weather who don't have a proper sweater or coat on. We're being led by a generation of men who aren't even freaking men. The deranged psychopath, neurotic psychopath that issued the mask order in Pennsylvania is mentally deranged. That male thinks it's a female and dresses up like one. Defies what God blessed him with at birth as a man. And here this psychopath is ordering two-year-old children to spend the 4th of July weekend behind a cotton or cloth mask for their own good. It's not for their own good. You know whose good it's for? It's for that sadistic, masochist psycho's good. And that psychopath governor. And you know what? At the end of the day, you know what these pair of twisted, sick individuals who ought to be dragged out of the state capitol and strung up by their ankles so all can see them hanging in town square? You know why they're doing this? Because Pennsylvania voted for Trump. This is revenge, baby. It's payback. Who's going to stop them? Pennsylvania's legislature, for the first time in a while, is actually controlled by the Republican Party. And to their credit, they've told the governor and his psychopath henchmen, no, you can't do that. But as the powers that be know, there is all hope and salvation and all manner and all method to get your way. All you got to do is find a judge that will throw the gavel down and say, we got all this like evidence, and we'll do it. And every time, all three times, Pennsylvania's legislature has acted, three judges have said the legislature doesn't have the authority. If the legislature doesn't have the authority, who does? Oh, the governor and a panel of judges. So five men run the state of Pennsylvania now. That sounds to me like a reason that you guys ought to get busy and start taking care of business there. This has got to end. What do they have in store for an encore when Richard Dick Levine gets another sadistic urge? Oh, you know what? Those people aren't too many smiling people underneath those masks. We need to ratchet this up. This is a revolution. Who falls today? Anyone that's challenged, that's who falls today. Who will stand up and say no today? Let me tell you who will stand up and say no.
0.0.
No one.
Zero.
To watch this unfold in front of our very eyes is heartbreaking. There is nothing left of the America that we once knew. Nothing other than the small little groups of people that we still know and love and we know have not gone over to the American Communist Party. Ooh, I'm afraid they don't want to get sick side. Well, cry me a frickin' river, you traitor. ACP, we ought to be branding it in indelible ink on their foreheads. American Communist Party. You might as well just go ahead and pull the trigger. You so look forward to your masking and your mandatory masking across the United States. The 73% of you that said yes, I got an idea. Why don't you come to my house and try it? Why don't you try and make me put one on? Go ahead. This is what our message to them would be. I'm going out of my house, and I'm going to go in that store, and I'm not wearing your stinking mask. And if you try and stop me, you better go get law. And they better be ready to invoke a law against me because I'm not doing it. If enough people did this, this ends tomorrow. This ends tomorrow. It can only continue because the cowardly populace is going along with it. That's the reason why. June 2nd, 1776, John Adams. Before we go to Fiorella, I'll close with this. See if this sounds familiar, because this is what the enemy are writing to one another right now. Sean King is writing this to Joe Biden. The maniacs that run, the lesbians that run Black Lives Matter are writing correspondence between each other. And they write this giddily. Object of the most stupendous magnitude, measures in which the lives and liberties of hundreds of millions, born and unborn, are most essentially interested, are now before us. We are in the very midst of revolution, the most complete, unexpected, and remarkable of any in the history of nations. Close quote. John Adams, June 9, 1776. They're winning. They have all the chips on their side. We got nothing. We got a little radio show here, a little television podcast or broadcast there. Yeah, you got Tucker Carlson and maybe Laura Ingraham and a few others. They're winning. They control everything. Every corporation in the United States is all thrown in with the ACP and the Rainbow Purification League and the Privilege Purification League. None of them have taken a stand, and they're not going to. They're monitoring our communication. They're reading our freaking email. They're monitoring our text messages. You know what we have? I'm not afraid of them. That's what we have. I don't care. I'm not afraid of you. Do what you're going to do, big boy. Because you know what? I answer to a higher authority. And he told me that I'm doing the right thing. And he told me that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you're not. I answer to his authority. And I only answer to someone carrying out his authority on earth who's carrying it out justly. And let me tell you something, Dick Levine and the rest of you, you're not carrying it out justly. So I'm not going to obey you. And you know what? I think he approves. And that's all I care about. So take your best shot, big boy. What are you going to do? Slap a little piece of cloth around my nose? Is that all you got, you coward? These people need to be told what they are. If it were a matter of life and death, would you do it? Too bad we can't talk to the people of the Cristeros in Mexico in 1913 and 14. Too bad we can't talk to the people of the Vendée and of Paris in 1791 or 1788. You're like, don't believe them. Don't do that. Too bad we can't talk to the people of Russia in 1916 and say Lenin's a liar, don't believe him. Too bad we can't talk to the people of Cuba and hear what they're saying and go like, no, the Castro brothers are lying. They're not going to fix this. Too bad, too freaking bad. Do you want to be on the side of too bad? It's as simple as that. Simple question. Are you on the side of, I'm going to say something, or on the side of 100 years from now, your great caring kids go like, too bad, Dad, great-grandpa didn't do anything about this. I'm not going to be on the side of too bad. How about you? Finally, before I go to, again, this is the most ridiculous, you know, I'm just angry, frustrated and angry, but I ought to be thanking God, thank you for the chance to make an act of reparation. Thank you for this challenge. Thank you for testing my patience. I'm not doing a very good job of managing it, but thank you. And thank you for the white martyrdom that you forced it upon all of us. I'm just going to show you this story. Maggie O'Connell can put it in the chat room. Life in a pod. There are now hundreds of manufacturers making Lucite booths, plexiglass booths, cones, for you and I to eat inside restaurants. I'll never go in one. As a matter of fact, you better make it out of Lexan and make it sledgehammer proof. The new normal is here, and you and I don't fit in it. So, what are we going to do about it? Simple as that. What are we going to do about it? I won't go along.